Mark and his business partner, Jack Canfield, create what Time Magazine calls the publishing phenomenon of the decade, with more than 60 million Chicken Soup for the Soul books sold in North America alone. But with the Chicken Soup idea was just one of many that propelled Mark Victor Hansen into a worldwide spotlight as one of the most dynamic and compelling personalities of our time. So for over 26 years, Mark Victor Hansen has focused solely on helping people in all walks of life reshape their personal vision of what's possible for themselves. I want to welcome today Mark Victor Hansen.
I'm thankful to be with you.
I'm glad to have you here. I mean, it's amazing to see what you've accomplished with the Chicken Soup of the Soul. In 1995, you won the prestigious Abbey Award, America's Booksellers Book of the Year, followed in 96 by the American Family Institute's Nonfiction Literary Award, and a whole bunch of others, from what I can tell.
Oh, yeah. When you're, according to Guinness Book of Records, we're world's best-selling book series. If you do worldwide, we're at 157 million, so that's a pretty serious amount of books.
157 million books.
Yeah, so, there's lots and lots of little books, big books, side books, sampler books, all kinds of stuff. So we're very thankful. What it means is that people like a good story, and the good news is we're still doing stories, and we're even doing we're finishing a movie now and all kinds of cool stuff. So it just goes on endlessly, and what it really means to all the listeners is that everybody has got to visualize to realize their results. They got to go deep in their innermost, highermost self, live in the assumption of the wish fulfilled. Like I, used to visualize that someday I'd be world's best-selling author, and now I are.
Yes, it's very true.
How's that for bad grammar?
That's pretty funny. Now, it's not always been glamour and luxury and what us guys around here would call successful because of what you've been able to accomplish in the last 20 years. What about before your success? What was life like, and what really made the difference between the hardworking day-to-day struggle and what we now consider to be your success or that turning point in your life?
Well, I'm not sure I'm not still struggling. The struggle is part of the joy of the deal. In other words, it's the joy of work for me, and I love every part of what I'm doing, so it was easy. I mean, we interviewed the 101 best-selling authors, so we found out what they did, not only as writers, which is an important part, but most of us that write can write. So what is more important is how did they market? So we wrote down 1,094 different marketing ideas that they did, and we said, holy cow. Because if you do what they did, you can get what they got, is the cliche. If you don't exercise, you start exercising, you start to get more fit, and you build up muscle and bone and tissue, and you live, 10 years longer and all that. Well, the same thing with writing or marketing. Marketing is a learnable, doable, transferable, trainable skill. I mean, you even came to my mega speaking, and I say, look, this is the highest paid, most profitable business in the world, and it has the best outreach, because if you can learn how to talk to one person, and everybody can probably do that, then you can talk to 2 and 10 and 20 and 200 and 2,000 and 200,000. And now you start really rocking, and then you got to have some product to sell. So back to your question is that I started bankrupt and upside down 34 years ago, decided to speak, then decided to write, then decided to do business. And now, in addition to all that, I'm still doing all that. I'm doing philanthropy to figure out how to make the world work for 100% of humanity. Nothing important. I hope you see the humor in that.
Yes, it is. You've taken Chicken Soup for the Soul, and you've done a great thing with it. And now you're going out. You do seminars around the country, helping people become writers and book authors and speakers. And how is that working for people?
Well, two or three issues. First of all, it is working, and I do both a mega book marketing seminar where I teach 37 ways to take every book and make it a bestseller. And there's a lot of nuances and not new issues, because books are selling more than ever before, but a lot of them are electronic books, and one of the things I'm a senior advisor to is a thing called YouPublish, youpublish.com, and for the first time in human history, everybody can get published instantly with a text, a book, a picture, a video, a PowerPoint, 28 forms, and you can do it free or paid, so you can go online with a click of whatever you got. If it's got the right title on it, it'll sell, and I say, of the 37 points I teach, title is the most important thing. I mean, Chicken Soup for the Soul is, it's old Jewish penicillin that made you well when you were feeling sick or down or not totally together. And the same thing with our heartwarming, soul-touching, soul-penetrating stories. They made you feel better. And thank God people keep reading our books and using them and telling us the most wondrous stories. And then the other thing is the mega speaking. We teach teach everyone, you know, that everyone can grow in platform skills and then you can be a paid speaker or be a paid speaker that also has a book, tape, video, training, seminars, all kinds of stuff. And there's 38 little, what are called permutations of that, you know, 38 ways to make money. And I say, you know, don't do one, do them all, because, you know, one or two of them can really make it. And I wrote a whole book, as you know, on money called 1 Minute Millionaire, and we teach 38 ways to make $1 million and do it with IP, intellectual property. And I'm saying now that America needs to be the intellectual property farm of the world. In other words,
right.
You got a thing like iPhone, which goes from nowhere to 10% of the market in 2 years, thanks to a brilliance of Steve Jobs. You got one guy, one kid with a $4,000 computer at the very most. I mean, maybe it was a $1,000 computer, but Mark Zuckerberg, you know, does Facebook, and it's worth $20 billion today. And what we need to pay off the national debt is 35 Mark Zuckerberg. So what we need is more of that rather than less of that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. In fact, it's incredible what you can do with technology today. But really, I mean, it's you know, like you said, it's the headline, it's the branding, it's everything. You know, chicken soup for the soul is probably one of the most recognized phrases in the world. You know, pretty close up there with what would Jesus do, WWJD.
I've never been compared to that before, but thank you.
Well, it's pretty close. I just happen to own WWJD.com, so that's why I plugged that. But anyways.
Wow, good for you.
We haven't developed it yet, but we're hoping to do something soon. But anyways, back to the Chicken Soup for the Soul. It's an amazing brand. Now, how did you build such a universally known brand?
Well, we didn't know that we were going to build a universally known brand at the front end, and now at the back end, we're partnered with IMG, International Management Group, that does Tiger Woods and everybody. But that only has happened in the last couple of months, because you get big enough, then the real biggies want to play with you. But we just started, you know, slugging it out. And at the front end, 144 publishers all said, hit the road, my partner's Jack Canfield, hit the road, Jack. And I said, okay, if you don't like Jack, but I'm really a nice guy. And then, you know, we talked at seminars all over the country, and we had 20,000 people give us a little coupon to say when this book comes out, because I really like that story, I'd like to buy it. I mean, even before we did the book, though, I talked to all the Marines in Tennessee, and they said, we don't cry, but you made our eyeballs sweaty. And they said, do you have that little story in a book? And I heard it, Jack heard it, and I taught him how to do heart-touching stories. So, you know, they give you goosebumps, God bumps, chili bumps, cause instantaneous behavioral change. I mean, we did a book called Chicken Soup for the Survivors, and we got 100,000 letters from people that said they got out of cancer because of it. We got a kid in Lebanon came up to us at BEA, Book Expo America, and there were like 800 people online ready to get a book signed. And Jack says, you got to hear this guy's story. And I said, okay. Some people aren't going to be happy that they're not getting their book signed. But the guy said, I'm in Lebanon, and Syria's trying to take over our country, and I'm marketing how to keep Lebanon, and every night to 10,000 kids have got to go out and keep our country safe, and they can get killed, tormented, tortured, their eyeballs plucked out, their arms cut off, burned at a stake, all kinds of stuff. I use chicken soup stories, so chicken soup helped save Lebanon. And I went, wow, that is like way beyond cool. I'm very thankful for that. So, you know, and we had another lady in Ohio. Maybe she was at the seminar you did. You know, we had those luncheons, and Jack was there, and one of my staff said, you got to have hear this woman's story. Let her sit between you and Jack here at lunch. And we did, and she said, 7 years ago, she had no family, was pregnant, had no husband, was eating out of the garbage dump at McDonald's, bathing in McDonald's bathrooms in Ohio and freezing. And one day she had goosebumps on her goosebumps, and she was going to kill herself after she delivered the baby and got it adopted because she was no good, she thought not worthy. She had goosebumps on her goosebumps, goes into the library, and there's they had a book section that said inspiration, and one of our books was open to a great story on puppies for sale by our friend Dan Clark, and she read it, decided to live. It's now 7 years later, and in Ohio, she's married, got three kids, very happy, and she has Chicken Soup for the Soul food kitchens and feeds 10,000 people a day.
Wow, that's amazing.
Cool?
Yeah, it's totally amazing. Okay.
Yeah, so what stories do is listening to somebody else's story of overcoming adversity, which every Chicken Soup for the Soul book has, you know, the biggest section has always been and always will be, I hope, overcoming adversity. You know, it helps people overcome adversity so they can go out and do marvels.
Wow. Well, tell us, what obstacles did you have to overcome to achieve this success?
Well, first of all, nobody wanted to publish us, and our respective spouses were saying, come on, Mark and Jack, get it together. Well, you guys go back to work. The book isn't going to make it. We said, no, we know the stories get standing ovations at the end of the talks. We know that the stories make it, and we've compiled 101 of the best stories. They're all 10++++. Everyone has read it, likes it. We just got to find a publisher to distribute it. And finally, you know, after our agent fired us, we went to Book Expo America ourselves, went to another bunch of publishers, and one little publisher read it, came back the next day and said, I cried all over my silk shirt. I think maybe Gary Seidler, he said, this might make it. So we'll help you, but you've got to promise you'll sell 20,000 copies and buy it at $6 a book. So he said, oh, gosh, we just want the distribution. And I said, did you read our business plan? Because we wrote a wall of a business plan because we didn't interview. Like, whatever market you're in, there's always some superstars. Go interview the superstars, and most, the best people give you the time of day and will gladly tell you what they're doing and how they did it. And so, you know, we went and talked to the superstars, wrote it out. We were going to sell 1.5 million in 1.5 years. We sold 1,300,000. We were 200,000 short, but we still pulled off great miracles.
So good,
Had fun doing it and are still rocking.
I believe that Jack Canfield mentioned in one of his interviews that the people were telling you at the time that nobody reads compilation books, and nobody publishes compilation books.
Right, and, short story books.
And you guys said, well, what about the Bible?
Yeah. Well, it was even worse than that. When we were outselling every other book in America, you know, Harry Potter wasn't out at the time yet. And so the New York Times would not put us on the list, even though we were selling more than 20,000 books a week. And Porter's and Barnes Noble and Books a Million and Kohl's and Smith and Walt. Anyhow, so I called the lady and I said, why won't you? She said, yeah, she was a little pompous and arrogant and sophomoric and New Yorker, and said, sir, you are a multi-authored book. I said, lady, the Bible has 66 authors.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I think it'd be okay for you to do this.
Yeah, see, I knew I had this story, you know, somewhat right. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So how do you just find success now when you're out there, you're teaching, you're talking to people? What is your definition of success?
Good question. And everybody's got a different definition. So, you know, you got to look at them and say, what kind of success do they have and what definition do you want to go with? And my definition is success is the difference between where you are and what your full potential is, you know, when you're fully using your potential mentally, physically, financially, socially, spiritually, emotionally, and getting done the good stuff that you want to get done.
Wow.
I'm nowhere near my potential. Now everyone says, well, you've already made a fortune and you've been everywhere and know a lot of people. Well, I think I'm just beginning.
Exactly, yeah. There are no limits. The limits are, you know, people set preconceived limits in their minds, you know, what they're capable of accomplishing. And then once they accomplish it, they're like, well, what now?
Yeah. Which is just the opposite of what I teach. I wrote a book with Jack called The Power of Focus, which I hope everyone reads. If they want to go to markvictoransit.com, we'll give you that, plus a lot of electronic free books like How to Be Chronically Profitable, which I think is the most important thing to do in times like this. It is important to be chronically profitable, don't you think? And we get, you know, 21 ways to do it that no one ever thought of before. So the point is that The Power of Focus, we teach don't set goals, but set too many goals, but start by setting 101 goals. What's the house you want? What's the car you want? What's the lifestyle you want? What's the life you want? How much income do you want? What kind of residual income do you want? What kind of residual philanthropy do you want to do? In other words, I teach, you know, I wrote a whole book called Miracle of Tithing, which people look at and say, what's the miracle of tithing? And I said, you've been tithed enough lately. You know, where do you want to go? Like, I want to go to all 228 countries on the planet, and I've been to 78 countries. I've been to 10 countries in the last year. You know, you've got to get to 228 countries, depends on how long you're going to live, but if you're going to do it in 20 years, you know, that's basically 10-plus countries a year. That's a lot. So most people better do a 40-year plan if that was their goal. If your goal is to be a millionaire, you know, we teach it's real simple. Just save a dollar a day during a human lifetime. It's only 25 grand, but at 10%, it's 2,750,000. We teach 20 ways to get 20%, 1 minute millionaire. That comes out $1 billion. So everybody in America should be rich. We shouldn't be having the problems that we're having. But, you know, what I teach, as you know, is you got to give 10%. You got to start with 0.25% or 1%. If you've never been a giver, you don't believe it, because that's the greatest money creation system in the world when you're a giver. Then you got to save 10%. Then you've got to invest 10%. Now you give 10% because that opens up opportunities and gets you out of trouble, and you hear not to do things as well as to do things if you're paying attention. Then the second part of that is save 10%. So when there is an economic kickup like we're experiencing on the planet right now, You float through it until it gets back together again. And then the third thing is you invest 10%, so you've got your money multiplying, money multiplying, money multiplying, money. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so basically you got to set up a structure that continues to work for you. Yeah.
A system more than a structure. It's got to be a system. In One Minute Millionaire, we define system different than everyone. We say system is saves yourself time, energy, and money.
There you go. I love acronyms. Okay, so you're the author, co-author of The Power of Focus.
Yep.
Tell us about a little bit more about the premise of the book and how can people get that?
Well, they can call my office, 800-433-2314, if they want it, or they can go online and get it, or they can buy it at a bookstore, Amazon. But Power of Focus says the only reliable predictor of profitability is focus. So are you focusing on being profitable? Are you focusing on your future earning power? And because I teach thinking big, I say the size of your question determines the size of your results. So Bob Allen and I just finished a new book, won't be out until this summer, called Cash in a Flash, Fast Money in Slow Times. And he asked me after we were celebrating at lunch, he said, what are three ways you're going to make $10 million this year? And I went, wow, I've never been asked that question. I got to figure that out. And then I've asked that to my inner circle and the group that pays a lot of money to travel around with me. And then another guy that I do a lot of work with, James Skinner in Japan and Singapore, James said, what is the one project you're doing this year that you can make $100 million? Now, some of the people listening go, man, if I could just make $1 million, I'd be doing great. But here's the deal. When your mind jumps to making $10 million in a year or $100 million, now making $1 million is easy because of the theory called compression. You go backwards. So your mind grows and expands at the level that you invited and entreated and excited and delighted to work at. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, people's perceptions of what they can accomplish and cannot accomplish is just truly amazing. We used to have the thought in the office where people were like, well, you know, it's Friday, it's 3 o'clock, we can't make sales, you know, there's not going to be any sales for the rest of the week, everyone's gone home early, that kind of thing. So I pull out a $100 bill and I said, the next person to make a sale $500 or more gets a $100 bill. We made $4,000 between 3 and 6 o'clock that day in sales because people's perceptions automatically became changed.
Oh, yeah.
I've only met you once in person, but I've been following you for a long time. In fact, I didn't get a chance to tell you this, but the 1 Minute Millionaire, the book you co-wrote way back a few years ago, I picked that up in 2000 and I think it's early 2004. And, of course, everyone's like, well, Tony, you can't be a millionaire in 1 minute. Well, it's not really about that 1 minute. It's about 1 minute a day and all that stuff. So, but really, that changed my life. That book totally changed my life. Well, I discovered at that point in time that you could make more than $3,000 a month. You can make more than $5,000 a month. And that was running a business, not just personal income. And we went, in a matter of a few weeks, we went from making, you know, $2,000 or $3,000, $4,000 a month to making between $10,000 and $20,000 a week in sales. And like I said in the last half hour, a lot of it had to do with perception about what I thought was possible and versus what really is possible. And so that's one of the reasons why we're here today, is because we're trying to go out there and show people how to achieve results in their business and beyond. And because what I realized was that a lot of what I did in my business, I was taking home with me at night, and a lot of what I take home with me at night, I was taking back to business. And so we want people to achieve both personally and throughout their business. And one of those ways is by reading and following great authors like Mark Victor Hansen, and that's why you're on the show here today. So I just want to tell you personally that you've changed my life and, quite frankly, a lot of other people.
Well, thank you. That was our whole goal in writing, is the whole world one story at a time and have an instantaneous behavioral impact with everything that we write. So it's fun. I love it.
And I bet you hear a lot of stories like that.
Well, it's incredible what you get to do once, you know, you got a story, because everyone lives their story. So the question is, are you inputting stories that are going to benefit you and benefit others, and are you telling uplifted stories? And in a time like this, you know, I'm glad for Results Radio, because you've got to shut off the negative media and plug into positive media so you get positive results, because positive thinking generates positive results.
That's right. Okay.
Real simple, yeah.
All right, so tell us a little bit about The 1 Minute Millionaire, The Enlightened Way to Wealth. This book was destined to inspire the creation of 1 million new millionaires in a decade. Now, even in the current economy, do you believe that this is true and this can still happen?
Well, not only is it true, but there's more millionaires being created now than ever. But I've written a new book that comes out here shortly called The Richest Kids in America, How They Got That Way, and You Can Too. And none of these kids believe there's anything called a recession or any upset in the economy. One little girl of color at 11 years old loses all her hair. Her name is Justine Lawrence. She's afraid to go out. She won't talk to her friends. She won't go to school. She won't do anything. So she goes online, finds out that there's some natural herbs in that will grow hair, puts them on her own head, grows her hair back, and now she sells 60,000 bottles a month of Eden Care Body Works at Walmart, and it's got people with alopecia, which is total hair loss, growing hair back again, which has never happened before. So
wow.
We're in an exquisitely exciting time. And then there's this wondrous woman who at 4 years old starts painting and is just a child prodigy. You can go to Art at Akiana, or you can come to my website and look. She and Art Linkletter and I, I got 10 of these great kids doing stuff. She's gotten paid, and now she's 13 years old, up to $1 million a canvas, and her cheapest art sells for $24,000. She writes poetry. And so I put this book together to get the American economy going again, because people just haven't thought it through right. And then I said, well, wait a second, what else is working? And then I'm a spokesperson for a company called United First Financial, and if anyone, calls my office here...
Oh, my. I've already heard about that.
Yeah, anyhow, they're taking 30-year mortgages and having them paid off in a third to half the time, and I had a fourplex in Huntington Beach. That means four units. So it was $1.3 million. Houses in California are more expensive than most of the rest of the country. And,
sure.
And, it had 28-year mortgage on it, and when we put it through their software, which is all they're selling as a software program... it paid off in 12.2 years and saved me $639,000. But in my office, if somebody wanted to talk to Susie, she would gladly run anyone's numbers and tell them how much they could save, just because this is now one of the fastest-growing companies in America. And the beauty of that is that if we get 1 million people, the median house in America, that's according to Google, the poorest to the richest, 400,000. So 1 million times 400,000 people doing this, not refinancing their house, but doing softwares and just paying in a proprietary way, suddenly, that would be $400 billion paid back to the banks, which means they'd lend it out again at 10 to 1, which means a reinvestment in our economy of $4 trillion. That would get our economy going like that. And that's what I'm working on, ideas the size of which and the likes of which nobody else are looking at or thinking about.
Can we plug the state of California into that software?
Well, not only are we trying to do that, but we've got, I got two congressmen and a senator trying to do that for the whole government. So
wow.
We're doing it for individuals with residential and commercial, and then we want to do it governmentally and municipally. Is that how to say that word?
Yeah.
And, so we're having a lot of fun looking at this stuff.
Wow, it'll work. All right, well, and so your new book is called?
The Richest Kids in America, How They Got That Way, and You Can Too. And the stories are just outstanding, because when you read them, you go, oh my God, if this little kid at 4 years old or 8 years old or 9 or 12 or 14 years old can make a fortune, what am I doing? Because what happens is we need more entrepreneurship in America. We need more good thinking. We need people to stop watching the TV and watching and thinking, ain't it awful and it's terrible, and all those terrible guys in Wall Street and the terrible guys in Washington. They've made some mistakes, but we got to individually be massively productive and decide to go forward and goodward and accomplish great things.
Wow.
Can I go one step further?
Question
was, can we get out of the do? Well, when you look at the poorest country in the world, which is Bangladesh,
uh-huh.
One guy decided to make a difference, and I'm deciding to make a difference in America, but the one guy that decided to make a difference is Dr. Muhammad Yunus. He just got a Nobel Prize, but he's taken 100 million women from below poverty to above poverty. In the last 2 years, he's given out cell phones at $15 each. He finances them through Grameen Phone. But in 2 months, when a woman's got a phone, she becomes a VPO, a village phone operator, and that doesn't seem like a big deal here in America where everyone's got a cell phone. But what it did is it turns around the whole culture, and they're going from one of the poorest countries in the world to one of the richest, one of the best educated, and they're doing it with phones. So what I'm saying is we're in this most exquisitely exciting, incredible time. If you're awake, if you're alive, if you're paying attention to stuff that's working rather than stuff that's not working, because there's a lot of stuff that's working, but nobody's giving it media. The point is seek and you'll find. If you going to your house and look for dirt, you'll find dirt. If you go in for look for the brightness and the light and the joy and the happiness and the most beautiful picture, you'll find that.
Right. Well, that's definitely true. We're listening today to Mark Victor Hansen on Tulsa's Talk Radio 1170 KFAQ and, of course, ResultsRadioShow.com. Mark, tell us a little bit about the Mark Victor Hansen Foundation. You've gone out there. You're doing a lot of work to try to end world hunger, not just through feeding people, but through education. Tell us a little bit about the Mark Victor Hansen Foundation.
Well, what happens is that I want to end literacy, which will end poverty. Poverty, as my friend Dr. Yunus says, only belongs in one place, and that's in a museum. And we have the resources, we have the money, we have a $50 trillion economy now, so there's no shortage of money. People aren't thinking right, so the money's not circulating right, that's all. When you're positive and buoyant thinking right, then the money keeps circulating. When you're negative and shut down and dealing in closed systems, the money shuts down. So, and it's a little simplistic, but I can unwrap it if you need it unwrapped. The point is, my foundation has got two little things that's going to change the world, because I believe everyone needs to do causal charity. And one is, we're doing, and we're just finishing it right now with Kathy Buckley, universal sign language, which will be done in English, and it'll be taught on the telephone to the whole world, and then everybody in every language can do business with other people just with sign language on the telephone. So if you speak Bahasa and I speak Farsi or Telugu or Kanadris or some other language that you don't know, we can still communicate, do business, and then money circulates. The other thing I'm doing is, we're doing a GED, a graduate high school equivalent degree, GED, by telephone. It takes 80 hours, and then you graduate high school. And if you're working at McDonald's, that would mean a dollar extra an hour, and that's 40 hours a week times 50 weeks. That's $2,000 a year. So it's a serious amount of money, and it just will help change that part of the world for us. And it just, so we're in this exciting time where there's infinite possibilities. People get off their duff. Quit listening to all the negative news. Start listening to positive tapes, watch positive movies, watch biography videos, read biographies. Because everybody gets challenged. Everybody gets to go through adversity. Everybody gets through hardship. Everyone gets to turn their scars into stars, gets to turn what I teach, tragic, into magic. And so what happens is you need to read about other people doing it, and you decide to do it.
Wow. Okay, you said you were teaching sign language and GEDs over the phone, telephone. How is that?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, we're at the very beginning stages of it right now, and the Mark Victor Hansen Foundation is raising a little bit more money so we can afford to get it done everywhere with our Soul Motion Ball, and you can go online at markvictorhansen.com and look at all that. And, you know, Sherry Sachs is head of my foundation, and she's just, we're finishing it. I'm telling it a little bit ahead of time, you know, because I'm pushing the edge of the envelope, and it's amazing how, you know, we're doing what's called beta testing, the front-end testing of it, and it's exciting because it's a new concept, because I want, what we need is more, what I said is IP, we need more intellectual property, more new concepts, just like the books I write are original. I want to do original thinking and original scholarship and writing, and I want people to, you know, be open to original new ideas.
Okay, great. All right. Well, and you also have the Mega Book Marketing Conference now, and, of course, the Mega Speakers Marketing Conference. I've been to the Mega Speakers one. Tell us a little bit about these conferences that you're doing and the next one that's coming up here.
Well, you went to Mega Speaking, so you tell us. What did you like it? Were the speakers good? Did it enlarge you? Did it expand your radio business? You tell us what happened.
Well, thanks for that. The Mega Speakers Conference was truly amazing. It's 3 days, and, of course, during the 3 days, you're meeting all kinds of people from all walks of life, all with the same goals and aspirations. But not only that, you've got the people there that have already achieved a lot of these things, and these people are, you know, guys like Alexander Mendozian, which we've, and Brandon Burchard and Lynn Rose, and all these people we've interviewed on the Results Radio Show. It's brought a lot to the ResultsRadioShow.com. But you know, it's truly amazing what you can pick up and learn and go with. So. You know, I personally would endorse taking people out to your Mega Speakers Conference. And even then, we wrote the Recession Marketing Guide this year, and I'm working on other projects based on some of the things that I was taught at the conference, which is how to write a book, you know, starting in 10 minutes or an hour, and, you know, and things like that to help us get things started. One of the other things we picked up at the Mega Speakers Conference is, one of the important things is to actually start doing something. So many people will plan and plan and plan, and they will never get started, or they'll start something and never finish it. you got to start it, and then you got to find people who will help you finish it and move it along. So it's a lot to learn, but I threw it all in about 60 seconds there.
Yeah, well, that's what happens is when I started speaking 34 years ago, there was no such thing as somebody to teach you how to do it as a business. There are some associations like National Speaker Association that was very helpful to me, but an association intrinsically by law cannot teach where the money is. I have a seminar that is for profit that teaches people where all the profits are. What are the 38 profit zones in speaking, as an example, 37 in the writing business, and say, look, you don't want to do one, you want to do them all. I mean, like, yes, I write books. Yes, I do videos. Yes, I do audios. Yes, I've written a play. Yes, we're finishing the 1 Minute Millionaire movie right now, and I'm in two or three other movies like The Shadow with Debbie Ford and Deepak Chopra and a few other people, and Marianne Williamson. So what happens is that you don't want to write one play, and I've written some songs with Edwin Shepard. So there's infinite possibilities for the first time in human history, and you and I got some stuff to do that needs to get done that nobody else is thinking of doing. How's that grab you?
Well, that's true. We got a lot of great ideas out there working. What is your perspective on the role of the Internet in business today? As you know, Results Radio Show is sponsored by Zeal, which is an Internet marketing agency. What do you think about the Internet and the role of Internet in business today?
I think the Internet is going to be the business of America's future. I don't think we can do the hard stuff like automobiles anymore. We're not cost competitive, whereas the Internet, when I did that book, The Richest Kids in America, every one of these kids has made, I think, 14 out of 20 have all done Internet-bound businesses and are just rocking at levels that I can't even believe. Like one of the guys we have coming in talking with The Richest Kids Say the Darndest Things is a seminar we're doing here shortly with our Linkletter, the 96-year-old superstar. But his kid named Cameron Johnson. Now, Cameron Johnson is in school and makes $10 million in a year at 19 years old by saying, I will buy back all the gift cards at a discount and then resell them to other people. So all he did is a gift card exchange. You know, if your mother gave you a gift card for Best Buy or Nordstrom's or whatever and you weren't going to use it and it was a $100 gift card, he'd take it, give you $85 and then, or whatever he gave, and then he switched it and bartered it and made a fortune with it.
Wow.
Because a third of gift cards aren't used. Did you know that?
Yeah,
a lot of them are lost, and it's called breakage and spillage and trash and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there's so many ideas that are untapped and unfinished out there. It's just a matter of you know, finding it and getting it done. And the Internet allows us to go out and research and network and find the people to do it and then market it successfully. A lot of great ideas started with the Internet and will continue to do so. Chicken Soup for the Soul is currently implementing a plan to expand into all media by working with TV networks on several shows and developing a major Internet presence dedicated to life improvement, emotional support, and inspiration. What can you tell me about this?
Well, we think we're going to be one of the biggest social networks on the planet because, we've been read by hundreds of millions of people. Our pass-along value is about 5. In places like India, our pass-along value is about 12. And in China, its pass-along value is about 20. And we're one of the best read stories because everybody loves a good story. Everybody. And our stories are dedicated to 3 minutes or less. So you read them in the bathroom or the bedroom or right before you go to sleep and you think positive thoughts and go, oh, that just touched my heart. It's so wonderful. And so what happens is that, we got two guys that are working with us that really know the Internet business. Matter of fact, one of them, Bill Rowana, started the Internet when he was at Berkeley in 1969. Not like Al Gore did a political imprimatur on him, but this guy did the real deal.
Okay. All right. We can find Mark Victor Hansen at markvictorhansen.com. You can find out all about your seminars and your conferences and, of course, your books. The Power of Focus, and the ones that you're going to have come out just as soon as you can. You have any last thoughts or words on today's show?
I think everyone needs to attend a seminar. If I don't wind them up, some of the other people that wind them up, they need to attend, because what happens is the seminar sets in order the facts of experience in the right way so you can think through stuff and you can go out and get results that you didn't even know you could get. Isn't that cool?
That's true. It's very cool. And in fact, I would say any business person, entrepreneur or whatever, you look to writing books, look to writing and speaking as a ancillary product, if it's not your main business, it needs to be a side business, because there is a lot of profit and there's a lot of ways to reach new customers through writing books and doing public speaking.
That's it. It's the best way to go. It's the most profitable, fun business, and it's something that you can't get fired from. So, I mean, there are speakers out there that are 90 years old doing great still. So it's a wondrous business. It's retirement-proof, too.
All right. Well, thank you, sir, for being on the show. It's a great honor.
I hope you'll have me back again.